7:38. Chet Edwards joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning. How are you?
Scott, doing great. Good morning. And it was good to be in Bryan and College Station Monday of this week to celebrate a great partnership between the City of Bryan and Brazos County and the Council of Governments and other entities, the Research Valley Partnership, to create a new industrial park there. And so it's good to be back home.
You know, that touches on something that I know a lot of cities or counties in your district are probably struggling with, and that is that it would appear that funding from D.C. is getting harder and harder to find. And I'm sure that's a question that a lot of elected officials ask you when you're back in the district. Kind of give us a view of what you're able to tell them in those circumstances.
Well, the cities are really facing some struggles, particularly in infrastructure. Back in the 1950s, 60s, the federal government often paid 90% of the cost of water and sewage infrastructure, basic infrastructure for communities. Now that is no longer the case, and we've got a lot of very aging systems for water treatment, sewage treatment. And so that, combined with the sluggish economy that we have gone through and the recession that we hopefully are climbing out of, that's put a lot of pressure on our cities. And as we try to get this deficit under control, which has to be done at the federal level for the sake of our children and our present-day economy, it's going to be more and more difficult.
Arizona State passed an immigration law that has certainly caused an uproar. Texas, obviously, with a far larger and longer border than Arizona. What's your view of that Arizona legislation?
Well, I think, first of all, the bottom line is we have got to enforce the laws, decide how many legal immigrants America needs for our economy to work efficiently and effectively, and then we have to enforce that law. And the federal government hasn't done as good of a job as it should have. It's failed in many ways, although I will say that in the last couple of years we have had a drop in the total number of illegal immigrants estimated to be in the country by about 1.5 million people. And last year it was estimated that the illegal flow from Mexico was the lowest since 1970. So we're making some progress, but obviously we've got a long way to go. In regard to Arizona, I understand, Scott, their frustration, but there are several things about that bill that I do not support. I don't like the idea of any citizen being able to sue the police department because they don't think the police are handling their jobs exactly the way that citizen thinks they should. That's going to cost police departments massive amounts of money and divert their attention from enforcing the basic laws in their communities. I'm concerned about taking police off of burglary and rape and murder cases to put them on the immigration cases when that is supposed to be done by the federal government. And finally, I believe in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, the protection of American citizens against search and seizure without probable cause. And I think any law dealing with something like this ought to have a standard of probable cause of someone having committed a crime rather than reasonable suspicion. That the Fourth Amendment is a deeply embedded principle in our country, and I think we should respect that.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Well, of course, part of the numbers falling from Mexico could have to do with job availability and our poor economic situation. That certainly could be part of the problem there.
But, well, that's true. Let me also say, though, and I think that is a factor, but let me also say that we have doubled or tripled the number of Border Patrol agents in recent years and spent a lot of money on technology. Some of it has worked well, some of it has not worked well, and we've got to continue that effort to stop the flow of illegal immigrants.
What's the most important element as far as you're concerned, if there is legislation for the existing illegals, the ones who are already here?
Well, that's a difficult issue, but I agree with former President Bush that it would be impractical to think we can round up, first of all, hire enough federal agents, train them round, and then have them go round up 10, 11, 12 million people. That would just that could be an economic and social nightmare in our country. I do not believe in amnesty. I think there ought to be discussions between Republicans and Democrats, because this should be done on a bipartisan basis, to have those people that are here illegally admit to having broken the law of our land when they came into our country illegally, and then perhaps have a combination of fines, pay taxes, learn English, and you go to the back of the line to be considered for, say, legal residency, and not at the front of the line for citizenship. I think the most important thing we can do in the illegal immigration issue, though, is protect the border, strengthen our border patrol, which we have been doing in recent years, and then, frankly, enforce the laws against employment. You know, most of these folks that are coming across the border just want to make a better living for their families. If they can't get jobs, they're not going to come to the United States.
I know Congressman Markey met with the BP folks behind closed doors yesterday. Any sense of what happened there, or what's the information that you're getting as far as the spill is concerned?
Scott, I don't know that, but obviously we're facing an economic and environmental disaster here. And as someone who has long supported offshore production, and I continue to support offshore oil and gas production, I think several things have to happen. First, Congress must immediately pass a law to be sure there's not some arbitrary cap on BP's responsibility to pay for the economic cost and the cleanup of the problems that they have created. Secondly, I think we need to have the federal agencies, the MMA, that's supposed to oversee this industry, look at requiring the remote acoustic devices. It just doesn't make sense that we did not require a $500,000 investment on a $600 million rig that could have protected billions and billions of dollars of economic disaster as a result of this. Thirdly, we just got to have better oversight of offshore production, and I think it might make sense. We certainly ought to consider at least having a temporary moratorium on the actual building, the construction of new offshore rigs until we know exactly what happened here. Let's continue doing the planning for expansion of offshore production. But before we build a new rig and put it out there, I want to know what happened on the BP site. How do we prevent it from happening again? Because if we have a second or third disaster of this type, then the American people will demand we just shut down all offshore production. And I think that would be bad for our energy sufficiency in this country and bad for our economy.
Well, in your view, why does the situation exist that a $500,000 fix is not required on these rigs?
Well, apparently the Minerals Management Agency that has responsibility for overseeing offshore production considered this several years ago, but there was pressure from the industry. They didn't want to spend the extra money. And I think this is a perfect example of where people don't want the government to try to do everything, and it should not try to overregulate business. But in the case of Enron, Wall Street, and the BP offshore rig, a little bit more responsible government oversight would have saved taxpayers, in all three of these cases, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars.
Has BP donated to your campaign before?
They have contributed to my campaign because I have been a strong supporter of our American oil and gas industry, that people that are producing here in the United States and off coast. I'm proud to have the support from the energy industry. But I will tell you, because someone has contributed to me, will not keep me from severely criticizing them when they have done something wrong. And we need to find out what happened on this. And as I said, I will strongly support a bill that would increase significantly any artificial cap on BP's responsibility. BP created this problem. BP and not America's taxpayers ought to have to pay for the cleanup.
And obviously the Times Square incident is something that is once again puts it on the forefront, on the front page, in front of all of us, that we are just one incident away from having another terrorist disaster. What's your view of how we allowed this situation to get as close as we did to a disaster?
Well, I would say this is a wake-up call. Once again, we need to know that every single day there are evil people in this world who want to kill American citizens and undermine our way of life and our freedoms. We don't often enough salute our law enforcement officers and officials when they do good work, and I think the FBI, the New York City Police, the Connecticut Police really deserve America's gratitude for so quickly tracking down Faisal Shahzad before he got out of this country. I do think we need to review the TSA requirements and figure out why the airlines apparently did not check the latest no-fly list. How did he get on that airplane? I'm grateful for those who stopped that plane from leaving the country and getting him out of our airspace, but I think we need to figure out, we need to learn the lesson. How did he make it through the TSA checklist? How did he make it through the airline checklist? But the bottom line is, I really salute the FBI and the New York City and Connecticut police and law enforcement officials for the good work they did in apprehending him so quickly.
Chet Edwards, our congressman, joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Scott, thank you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.